The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest in the studio today is Julie Gray. We're going to be talking about something we really don't talk about very much. It's one of those things that until you need it repaired, nobody thinks about it. But after the rains we've had and such, people may be thinking about it. We're going to be talking about septic systems, and Julie is part of DJ's
Portable Toilets and Septic Service.
And you're the people they call when things you're trying to get to go down don't go all the way down.
Correct.
Now, basically, you're business deals mainly with septic systems, or do you do occasionally things in a city that has sewers where it's just a clogged line somewhere?
Basically, we deal with the septic systems. We rent out porta-johns also, but basically we deal with septic systems in a home environment. Not too many city type systems, but there are city systems out there.
Okay, and the system basically is a tank and a drainage field. That's the basics of it.
Yes.
And the tank is like a mini city sewer system, a processing wastewater plant where it tries to take care of stuff before it goes into the field.
That's right. Your tank works similar to your stomach digesting. So whatever you flush or wash down your sink or tubs goes into that tank, just like it would in a city sewer.
And hopefully, if everything's working fine, the system you never have to touch.
That's what everybody thinks.
That's what everybody thinks, because you don't fix something till it's broke.
That's right. That's what most people think. The Michigan State Health Department recommends that you have your tank pumped every 3 to 5 years to remove the solids. Kind of like changing the oil in your car. If you change it on your car, the engine lasts longer. If you pump your septic system, you can prolong the life of your septic field, and that's what you want to do because your field's very expensive to replace.
Especially these days, I understand, because most of the time it has to be engineered now. It was in the old days, you know, we know the area around here and it takes about this many feet of drain tile to properly do a system, but today there's percolation tests, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on to make sure that your system is going to function right.
That's right. And you don't want to have to replace it prematurely, because for some people's cases, there's not enough room on their property to put a replacement field. So you want to keep the field you have healthy and working.
Do you have to go to a different location for the next field? Is the soil and the area in there too full that you can't re-engineer in the same area? Do you need to find a fresh bottom?
That's what happens, is you would have to find a new location. The local health department, when they issue your permit and help engineer the system, could tell you if you're able to use the same spot, but most times you have to move to a different location if you have to replace that field.
And that can be problematic if you have a very small lot.
That's right.
And really, there are some, you know, fancy systems out there, you know, for that avoid the septic tank, but this is the tried and true method that we've used for 100 years or more.
That's right. Years ago, they always said the septic system was a temporary fix until city sewer hit everybody in the rural areas. Well, that was years ago, and I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Not with the cost per mile and how much you'd have to recoup that and maintain it and everything else.
Right. So I think the septic system's here to stay, and we just need to learn how to use them so that we can prolong the life of the system.
Now, obviously, I would think over the years we've, you know, learned to engineer and design a septic tank a whole lot better than the old days. The old days, they used to just kind of build it out of blocks of cement, and it was one big holding cell, and that was pretty much it. But now I would imagine they're engineered, you know, with the input and the output at the right heights and everything else to make this last a long time.
Right, and the tanks are a lot bigger today than what they were years ago. 50, 70 years ago, you might have put a 250-gallon tank in. Today, we're putting 1,000, 1,200, 1,500-gallon tanks in, and they're made out of cement or plastic or fiberglass, so they're much more durable, and they're also bigger to accommodate all the water usage we have.
So it's like in the house where the old knob and tube wiring system can't handle what we're trying to throw on its load today. The old tanks can't take a four-bedroom, six-and-a-half bath house.
Yeah, that's very true. Years ago, the 250-gallon tank might have serviced Grandma and Grandpa, and now they've since passed, and Mom and Dad move in with four kids, and all of a sudden the system fails. Well, that system wasn't designed for six people to use it, but it worked adequate for two people. So as people buy homes and move around, you'll see that the systems that we're working now fail.
And we wash more clothes today. We have dishwashers going into this. And a lot of times, it isn't legal nowadays, but a lot of times some of that other non-septic water was passed out another pipe. And that's not allowed anymore. And all of that has to go into your septic tank now, too.
That's correct. You don't want to put your wash water out into the ditch. That's bad for our environment and our lakes. About the only things that you do not want to put into your septic system that you shouldn't put in there is your sump pump from the basement, your eaves troughs. Years ago, some places tied those into the tank. Those are things that you don't want to tie into the tank, but you do want all your wash water from your laundry, all your sink water, shower and tub water, and toilet water and everything to go into the tank. Those are things that should go in that tank.
And if you don't know, you should find somebody to come in and let you know that you're doing things right.
Exactly. Your local health department is your best place to go. They'll tell you what should and should not go into the tank as far as plumbing-wise.
Okay. We had some monumental rains recently. Put a couple of inches of water into the lake. I mean, it was that much. And I would imagine this would be the type of thing that would show people who are on the edge that your system may not be as wonderful as you thought it was a few months ago.
That's right. Sometimes as your tank gets closer to the point of needing to be pumped, your septic field, when it gets so saturated with water, will push water back into your tank, and it'll cause you to have problems. And it would actually cause some of our customers to back up. We had to go out and pump their tank, a 1,000-gallon tank, and we might have pumped 2,000 gallons out of it. And you wonder, how can that be? But the water was running back into their system from their septic field as fast as we could pump it out. And it could have been from the surface water, the rain that was getting onto it. Sometimes it could be just other water that's pushing against it, maybe coming from a farm field or a ditch that, you know, backed up onto the septic system, and it caused a lot of problems this spring.
Well, even the rain that just came down on the lawn on top of it,
yeah,
is saturated. That water is trying to percolate like it would do a drain field in your farm field, and it's flowing right into your tank as opposed to going elsewhere where you'd prefer it to go.
Yeah, exactly. It actually made your tank and your septic system go in reverse because the water was on top of the grass. It flowed down. It hit the pipes that was part of your septic system, and it got into that pipe and backed right into the tank and backed right into the home.
And it sounds to me like the backing up of that would be really hard on your drain field because you'd be almost sucking in the dirt around it, and dirt doesn't digest like the biosolids that would be in your septic tank. So this is limiting your drain field in the future.
It is. It is. And that is exactly what it can be doing.
And what is the expected life of a septic field and drain field? I know it could vary depending on how people take care of it, but is there generally a life expectancy of this? If you've been bragging that, you know, mine's been in here 70 years, well, maybe it's not doing all the things it should be doing.
There is no real guarantee or time span because there are so many variables. It depends on your soil type. Do I have good drainage like gravel or sand, or am I in heavy clay where the drainage is not as good? It depends on your usage, how friendly you are to your septic tank, and what kind of waters you're pushing out into that field. But there are ways to inspect your field and check the biomats and see if you're close to the end of your life or not. Many systems can last for years and years if you treat them right and if you maintain them.
Now, when they tend to put in new systems, they often do things like a percolating test to see how fast it drains in the area so they know how big to engineer the field. Can you do any type of testing in an already existing thing to see how well it's percolating, or is it just based on how bad it is that every time it rains it don't work?
Pretty much it's how bad it is, and when it rains it doesn't work. The health department might be able to come out and re-percolate, but I don't know that they actually do that. You could have a septic inspector come out and look at it, and they would actually dig up the four corners of your field, look at the biomat, and look at the stone and see if it's pretty much loaded up with biomat, and they would pump your tank at that time and inspect your tank. But in this area, most people don't do that.
Most people don't do anything until there's a problem.
That's
right.
I'm
sure you hear this more than I do, because, you know, they're calling out, it's never given us a problem until now. And that's because you've ignored it until now.
We hear that a lot. And, you know, then you'll ask them the signs and symptoms. Were your drains gurgling when you flush the toilet? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, it's been doing that for weeks or a month. And were your drains running slow? Oh, it's been running slow for 6 months now. And were you getting any kind of an odor? Yeah, some days. Well, those were all signs that you needed to have your tank pumped soon. And they were ignored because they didn't know what they were.
And pumping the tank, the whole system's gravity-fed.
Correct.
And water won't flow uphill, so once it reaches its level median, it doesn't want to go anywhere.
That's right. Your tank, actually, when you open the lid up, is full. Most people, they'll open the lid, they might look at it, call a septic hauler, and say, I need to have my tank pumped. It's full. Well, it's always full. Other than the day you pump it and until you fill it back up, which could take a couple days or a week, the tank is always full. But as you put water into the tank, water flows out into the field.
And it's water that's been through the digestion process, so there's no solids in it. That doesn't clog your drain field. And
correct.
Everything is hunky and or dory.
Correct. Because when we come and pump that tank, we always look to see if there's an elbow or a T on that outlet end. And if there's not, that needs to be replaced and put on there immediately, because that's what prevents the solids from getting out into your field, and you don't want to replace that field.
Because you don't want anything that, it's getting gross, floats
right.
to get into that pipe, because it's not going to be properly broken down at that point and will clog.
Exactly. So as the tank digests, you get a thick layer of sludge on the bottom, and that never goes away until you pump that tank out, and you'll get a scum layer on top, and that scum layer will be anywhere from a half an inch thick to, as time progresses, it could be 6 inches or a foot thick. And that's what you want to get out of the tank when we pump those tanks out. The water is just a bonus so that we can suck it up.
I'm sure glad we're not doing this during the noon lunch hour. Now, people try to do what they can. And they go to the store and they buy the little box of stuff and they flush it down there and thinking they're doing good. Does that really help, or if you have a properly functioning tank, it really doesn't need the extra vitamins, so to speak?
If your tank's functioning properly, you don't need any of the extra additives. If you're a person who uses a lot of bleach in your laundry detergent, uses a lot of cleaner products, uses a lot of antibacterial soap, antiseptic mouthwash, all those things kill the healthy organisms in your tank. Then you might want a product, an additive product. And if you're using that additive product, they make several types. I've seen them as drop-in pods. I've seen them as liquids, powders. Usually it's flush a dose down your toilet once a month. The old wives' tale is yeast. Again, it works just like those additives. But if you miss a month, don't ever double dose it, because that could be harmful to your tank and to your system.
Do people often mistake the septic problems for problems in their house and almost exacerbate the problem? If your drain's running slow, you throw some drain cleaner in it. Well, that's exactly what's going to kill the things down the line that actually are maybe the problem to begin with.
That's right, and it will kill what's down the line. And maybe it'll help your problem if you had hair or something like that clogged in your traps in the house. But it'll also be very harmful to the tank outside, because it's going to kill all those healthy organisms in the tank. And in the end, geez, I just cleaned the pipes. I think I cleaned the hair out with the drain cleaner that I poured in there, and I'm still having problems. Well, like you say, it wasn't in the house to begin with. It was probably your tank telling you, hey, I'm not working quite right. I need to be pumped. I'm running slow.
How do you know when it's time to call? I mean, you know, people will call and maybe it's just a hair clog, and then they'll feel weird that, you know, I called out a whole septic crew and they looked and there's nothing wrong, and here it is, there's a hairball.
More times than not, when a customer calls, their tank really truly needed to be pumped out. Occasionally, the problem wasn't the tank, but the tank did need to be pumped. Maybe the children flushed something down the toilet. We've had customers accidentally knock perfume bottles or anything like that in their toilet. Nobody wants to reach their hand in and pull that out, so I'll just flush.
Well, and it's out of sight, out of mind.
Right, until it plugs the line and they end up having to have the toilet pulled or the pipe taken apart, even though we came out and pumped the tank. But 9 times out of 10, the tank probably needed to be pumped at the same time. And if it didn't, our company will tell you, you know, you could have went longer. This tank probably wouldn't have had to be pumped today, but you would have no way to know if that's your problem until it's emptied out and it still won't flush.
Okay. People sometimes get on a regimen, you know, every 3 years I'm going to have this pumped, every 5 years. Is that good, or are you, you know, harming yourself accidentally by doing it too much? Sometimes overdoing things isn't as good because this stuff needs time to build up the bacteria, to build up the whole system and get it into a rhythm.
Usually 3 to 5 years is a good baseline. That's what the state recommends, is to have your tank pumped every 3 to 5 years based on the amount of usage in the household and how many people. We do have a few customers that will pump their tank every year for other reasons. Possibly I have a very small tank and a large family, so I pump my tank every year because if I don't, I know another 6 months down the road I'm going to have problems and be backed up.
And you'd rather do it at your convenience than dead of winter when the ground's frozen and everybody is out there in sub-zero temperatures and you open this thing up and it's just steaming because that whole bioprocess generates heat.
Exactly. It's always best to have your tanks pumped from late spring through approximately Christmas time in December. That's the time of year that the haulers in this area are able to pump it and dispose of it properly without any issues. In the winter months, because of all of the new DEQ laws, and they're good laws, we're not able to land apply to frozen ground. So we have to store this. And because of the storage, when our tanks are full, they're full. When our competitors' tanks are full, they're full. We all have to haul to a water waste treatment facility that then charges so many cents a gallon to dispose of it. And that cost gets transferred onto the customer. So not only will you pay a hauler to pump your tank out, you're going to pay for the disposal of it, making that septic tank much more costly to have it pumped out in the winter months than what it does in the summer months when it's nice out.
And you have many environmental regulations even now with what you do with this. I mean, as I understand it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you can land apply it, but it can't be on fields for crops for human consumption. There's all kinds of rules that you have to adhere to make sure it's done right and it's not flowing down the river again.
Correct. We have land that is approved by the DEQ. There's an approval process, and then there's a licensing process every year for that. The health department and DEQ come out and inspect this once a year. We do grow crops on it. There's setbacks from all the property lines and from rivers or streams or wells or anything like that. We have to keep track of all of our cropping records. The crops then have to be fed for animal consumption, and all this waste has to be worked within the ground within 6 hours of application. Everything has to be screened prior to putting it on there, and everything we screen out of there has to go to the water waste or to the landfill and be disposed of in that way. So there is a whole big process. It isn't just back up, throw a hose in your tank, pump it out, and geez, it costs a lot of money. There's a lot of things that go on after the tank's been pumped that you don't see as a customer.
That all add into the costs
exactly.
And your business model.
Exactly.
Okay. I imagine you find some strange things in the screening process throughout the years. I mean, would people be surprised what gets pumped out?
They might be. You know, little kids will drop things like matchbox cars or toys, or we'll find toothbrushes.
That whole commercial now they have with the kid flushing the golf balls and everything down the toilet to show how fast it works. This has to be something you're looking at, like going, no, don't give them the idea.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's other things that we find in the tank that we screen out that we would like customers not to put in the tank. It's actually detrimental to your tank.
Even some products that say they are septic safe.
Correct. Wet wipes that you use on infants or that more and more adults use, they say flushable, they say septic safe. It's best if you put those in the trash can. They will not deteriorate in your tank. They do not like to suck up in our hose. We have to screen them back out, so that's bad. There's bathroom wipes that you can use to wipe your bathtub and toilet and sink down that say septic safe and flushable. They're not. And, of course, the rule of thumb.
And many of them, for like the bathroom sinks and stuff, they're bleaching other stuff in there that's also detrimental to your tank.
There are. And, you know, the general things that you don't want to put down there are things like the wet wipes, condoms, tampons, tampon applicators, female pads, hemorrhoid pads. All those things are things you don't want to flush. We always tell our customers the rule of thumb is if you don't want to put it in your mouth and eat it, with the exception of human waste or toilet paper, don't flush it.
Because anything with plastic, nylon, all this stuff has a half-life, and your tank is not designed to deal with things with half-lives.
Exactly. And we'll even have customers flush their cigarette butts, and you'll open the lid and there'll be a million cigarette butts right by the lid. They never deteriorate.
Well, most of the filters are like fiberglass.
Right.
So that's going nowhere. The paper is gone, but the interior and the toxins that are in it are all going into your lawn.
Exactly.
People flush a number of things. I know you kind of have a list of things as well, but paint and stuff, you find people look to get rid of this stuff and they don't want to pay to have it hauled away. It's still going into the environment in your septic field because it's going into your lawn.
That's right. The best thing you can do with things like oils or paints or chemicals or pesticides or anything like that that you have that you want to get rid of is, if you watch, a lot of the counties or communities will have a day where they'll take your old prescriptions, don't flush them, or they'll take your old paints or pesticides, and that's the best way to dispose of that is take them to those drop-off sites when they do the drop-off day. Because even old medications that you flush, that can hurt your septic system.
Now, we were talking a little bit before the show, and you kind of smiled when I mentioned it, but, you know, people make renovations, and they don't really think about all that's going into that tank now. You know, well, we had a cottage, and now we have a house with three bathrooms, and I have this beautiful soaker tub that, you know, oh, my gosh, it's like having a small swimming pool. All that's got to go into your tank, and all that may be going into a tank that's undersized.
That's right. You know, a common bathtub was designed so that when you took your bath, you let the water go, it went into your tank, and it doesn't really affect your tank too much. It can handle it. But when you get these huge jacuzzi tubs that hold, you know, 90-plus gallons of water, and I'm going to fill it up every night and sit in that plush bubble bath, and now I let it go, we've actually seen systems where they've overloaded the system so much the tank will not digest, and you may end up going out there every 12 months, 18 months, and pumping the tank out, and the tank looks just as new as the day they put it in, the water that's going into it, because they're flushing so much into it, it doesn't have time to digest and start working like it should, and therefore the customer's calling continuously, I need my tank pumped again. Well, they're actually washing all of the good things out of their tank.
Yeah, all the good bacteria that breaks it down is being flushed out as fast as it can try and grow.
That's right. And so if you're going to put a huge jacuzzi tank in like that, you need to let your local health department know so that they can work with you to put in a bigger tank than what you have, or possibly even a second tank that maybe just holds that bathtub water, or, you know, so that it's not going into the mainstream of all of your septic because it's going to cause problems.
People love the remodeling shows and seeing all this stuff, and then You don't know what problems it might give you down the road.
That's right.
Garbage disposals. We talked a little about that before the show. Good or bad? It seems like you'd be putting biomass in there. You're chewing it up a little bit by, you know, breaking it down a little bit, putting it through the blades. Good or bad? Or, you know, like most things, good in moderation?
It's only good in moderation. If you have a septic system and you want to prolong the life of the system and you want to prolong the length of time between your pump outs, it's best to use in moderation or not use one at all. Things like chicken bones, potato skins, onion skins, they're very hard on the system. And you're putting raw food into that system. It has to digest that. You're not putting partially digested food from your body into the system. And we have some customers that use them, and one customer in particular calls every year. It's full. It needs to be pumped, and it really does. They have a garbage disposal. She wants to use it. That's wonderful. But she knows she's going to have her tank pumped every year. We have other customers who use them in moderation. They might go 3 to 5 years without having them plug up or cause them any issues, but, you know, they're using it in moderation.
Might be a good time to get a compost pile going. And then only in the winter when you're not feeling like going out there at 7 below 0, you use the disposal.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Garbage disposals were designed, I think, more for somebody that had city sewer where the sewer pipes are big enough to walk through and not so much the rural person.
I think they were meant for big cities like New York where they have smell problems and you get all the smelly garbage out into that system rather than the dumpster out back.
Exactly.
But people do like them. They use them and just use them in moderation, and nothing in there that can't digest at all, like bones.
Correct.
Okay. If people have questions, is there like the answer septic person somewhere? Is there info on the web? Do you have to be wary of info on the web because everybody seems to have their own opinions?
There's a lot of your own opinions. There is information at your local health department. The Michigan State website also has some information available. And if you were to Google it, you will find that there are some septic companies in Michigan that have now put information out there. We have a website and have put some information out there, and we're adding additional information. And our information that we are getting is from a group of septic haulers where we get together a couple times a year. We're members of the group, and we're actually putting together the information so that we're consistent with everything that we're putting out there, so that we're all on the same page, doing the same thing, giving the same information.
Okay. And besides the slow drainage, is there any other signs that people need to watch for? I mean, you mentioned smell, but, you know, is it coming out the vent pipes, or is it coming out of your drain you're talking about?
Exactly. One of your biggest signs is the gurgling. If I flush the toilet today, I hear the bathtub gurgling. If my wash machine is running today, I'll hear the sink gurgle. And a lot of times that means that it's gasping for air because the tank is getting full. And so that gurgling is something that'll be a sign.
Or your house is 40 years old and they did not put proper venting in.
Right.
Could be that, too.
Could be that, too.
But, and occasionally you're going to just have to do this. It's one of those things. It's house maintenance.
That's right. It's the cost of having a toilet. And it doesn't matter, you know, there's a cost associated if you live in town because you're paying for your sewer. Or there's a cost associated if you're in a rural area and have a septic system. That's part of your cost associated with it is the maintenance of it.
Do you find people buy houses, they have the system, and they really don't even know where it is?
Many times.
Because, you know, it's not like there's a stake sticking out of the ground. Usually you bury the lid a couple of inches and you put sod over it because you want it just to be a lawn. And if you don't know, have any clue where it's at, you're like, where's the metal detector? Let's go hunting.
Many times people don't know where they're at. We can help find it. Other septic haulers can help find it. There are some things we look for. Usually if there's a basement or a crawl space, you look for where the pipe is coming out of the house. We take a tile prod and we start close to the house and locate that pipe and try to follow it with the prod. In Huron County, they started making maps in 1972. Some of them were sketchy in the beginning. They're much better now. And that local health department, if you give them the house number and the street address, can give you a copy of what was put in the ground and where it should be located. And that tells how many lineal feet you have or even how big your tank is. But probably 98% of the time we're able to locate that tank to help you with the maintenance. And once we locate it, we always recommend to everybody, make a map, measure to the center of the handle, taking measurements off of tangent points on your house, you know, permanent points, so that in the future you can just take a tape measure and pull a couple measurements and my lid should be right here. And because of the type of ground in our area here, a lot of times when you dig that tank lid up, you'll find it's clay, hard digging, especially in a hot summer. I usually make a few recommendations of fill your hole back in with sand, put a couple inches of black dirt on top so the next time you dig it, it becomes an easier dig. Or the other thing you can do, a lot of customers are putting risers on their tank. Then they only have to put an inch or two of dirt on top for their grass or a decorative item on it, like a bird bath or something like that, a statue. Because as we all get older, nobody wants to dig 2 or 3 foot down in the ground to open that tank up because it's just hard to do.
And they have to be down deep enough so that your plumbing is below the frost line, so winter is worse.
Some tanks are 2 or 3 inches below the ground. Some tanks will be 2 or 3 foot. It just depends on where it was. In the olden days, they were a little bit deeper because they used to drain the basement into that septic tank. And so they'll be as low as the bottom of the basement floor. But some today, mine for instance, I have enough sand on the top of my tank to level my front yard stepping stones. So it just depends on when it was put in and how deep they put it in.
Good clue is in the spring, it's usually the first place where the snow melts, because that warm tank
heats
the ground underneath, and that's where the frost has gone first.
And if you've just purchased a home and you're not sure where it is, look in August or July when everything gets really dry. A lot of times you can see the tile runs are the only place that's nice and green in your yard and everything else is dead.
And they'll actually be lines.
Yeah, they will be.
Because that's the only place moisture is coming out.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming in and letting people know. Again, the big rains we had probably uncovered a lot of work you're going to have to be doing this summer. Don't put it off because it's only going to come back later.
That's
on.
Right.
And you might as well get yourself pumped up to do the right thing, I guess is the way to put it.
Correct.
Anything else you need to let people know about before we close? It's not a long process. It takes a couple hours?
Usually a typical pump out will take anywhere from a half an hour to an hour or two, depending on whether you know where the tank lid is already or if we have to try and find it.
And if you've already dug it out.
Right. If you've already dug the tank lid opening up and you just want to do a maintenance pump, a half an hour is probably all it's going to take. If we have to dig that tank lid up or locate it, it could take an hour or two. And always, always, always leave the lid on until the septic caller comes to pump it. We don't want to have any animals or children or anything like that fall in that hole. Always make sure that lid stays on. We don't want anything left open.
You didn't want to go in for the perfume bottle. You don't want to go in for your dog or child.
That's exactly correct. And we don't want to have anybody fall in and drowned or anything like that. So we always tell everybody, leave the lid on. We'll take it off when we get there.
And that gives you a chance to inspect the lid, make sure it's not cracked and all the kind of problems that there could be that down the road.
Correct.
Because cement is permeable.
It does. It can crack. It can disintegrate over time.
Now, you mentioned plastic and fiberglass now. Are those lasting longer, or is that just cheaper going in at the beginning?
I think it's just cheaper going in the beginning. Myself, I don't care for the plastic tanks as well. They're designed great. But it's a little bit harder for us to clean because they're corrugated. So, you know, things drop into those corrugated grooves that we're not able to clean as nice with some of our equipment.
Also sounds like it might be a problem where you've got a high water table because cement's going to want to go down, plastic might want to float up.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure that's happened to people, you know, as they install them.
Especially like you get close to the lakeshore or whatever, you're only a couple feet down and you have water.
Right.
And it's going to want to push it up. It's like trying to put a pool in.
That's right.
Unless it's full, it's trying to come up.
That's right.
Well, I appreciate you taking time today. If people have questions, they of course can contact DJs and get more info. But again, it's something people don't think about, but it's something you use every day and you count on it being there. And when it isn't, boy, is it frustrating.
That's right.
It's frustrating.
And it never fails. It always quits on a holiday or when everybody's coming over.
Well, that's because you got 18 more people using it than
exactly.
normal.
Exactly.
So a good preparation before the holidays get it pumped out.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks for being with us today, and hopefully you've saved some people a real mess.
Thank you.
Our guest today on the program has been Julie Cray, and we have been talking about how to get your system in order and keep it there, septic system, that is. And I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news here at WLEW.